But let's go ahead and open up in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. That's not the right slide, I don't think, but that's okay. I think I forgot to change that. What page is Ephesians chapter 6 in your church Bibles? 1082. I thought so. Great. Ephesians chapter 6, that's page 1082 in the church Bibles. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. So, we're just going to start right in the text today, actually. I know that's not my usual, but I think that's a good place to start today. So, Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 10. We're going to start in verse 10. It'll be with me on the screens as well. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers that are over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." Everybody say whole armor.
Whole.
"Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness that's given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." I love that phrase. "And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is the what? The Word of God. Here we go, verse 18. "Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Our text today is at the tail end of the letter of Ephesians. Ephesians is one of my favorite books in all of the Bible, and I'm sure that most of you, or many of you rather, could probably say the same. And the reason that we love the book of Ephesians is because it's the richness of it. There's such spiritual depth in Paul's words throughout this letter to encourage the believers at Ephesus, as well as all Christians who have believed throughout church history. Think about all that Paul says, even as early as chapter 1. Let's just summarize the book of Ephesians, if you will. And back in chapter 1, Paul says that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every single one. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And the rest of Ephesians goes on to tell about all those blessings. In chapter 2, we learn about the hope of the gospel, that we have been brought from death into life, that we have been, in God's mercy, made alive with Christ and seated in the heavenly places. How awesome is that? He talks about in the second part of Ephesians 2 that we have a new family. We talked about this just a few weeks ago, that we've been made into one new man and that God's presence resides in us together. In chapter 3, Paul talks about the spiritual strength that we have according to the width and the height and the depth and the breadth of the love of Christ. And not only that, but spiritual strength and the power of God, who is the one who can do abundantly and exceedingly more than all that we could ask or think or imagine, according to the power at work within us. In chapter 4, Paul says that in Christ, all of us who belong to him, we have different giftings that are given for our own maturity. And then in chapter 5, he talks about how we become new creations in Christ because we walk in the light that he shines down on us. Seems like everything that we could ever need right here in the letter to the Ephesians. so many promises, so much redemption, so much good news for us. But Paul isn't finished. He says, finally, he means just one more thing here. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong. Be confident. Stand firm. Take courage in the Lord. And don't forget, Paul says, the other blessings which will serve you in standing firm. Truth, righteousness, the message of peace, faith in the living God, salvation that covers your mind, even the very word of God, which is alive and active, sharp like a sword. And so you take those final benefits and you add them onto all the beautiful promises that Paul has already written about in this letter. And you might start to think, wow, what else could we need? Look at all that we have because of God's love and Jesus' finished work. And so you read the book of Ephesians and you're getting more and more hopeful, more and more confident. And that's exactly what should happen when you read the book of Ephesians. But just when you think you're invincible, just when you start to feel as though you couldn't ask or need for another thing, Paul tells us to pray. Paul tells us to pray. It's almost as though Paul is saying, I know you're glad to be saved. I know you're thankful for the brothers and sisters in the Lord. I know you believe the word of God, but don't forget to pray. In other words, we've got all the promises and the truths to stand on, but we're still needing the Lord's help. We're still dependent on the Lord. And additionally, you don't have on, remember I said earlier to repeat after me, whole armor. You don't have the whole armor of God until you prayed. There's only 6 weapons that are mentioned, but there's a 7th weapon in verse 18, that weapon of prayer. And with every piece that you put on, the truth, the righteousness, salvation, faith, all those things, it is not secure until there's been prayer. And let's just put it out there. Most Christians don't pray enough. And maybe you're thinking, Pastor Matt, that seems a little judgmental. Seems a little old school of you. Pharisaical, maybe legalistic. And listen, it's not my heart to come and talk about how much time you spend in prayer versus how much time you spend on Facebook. That's not what we're talking about today. What I'm saying is that Christians don't pray enough to do all those things that Paul talked about in the beginning of the passage, to be strong in the Lord. Christians don't pray enough to stand against the schemes of the devil, to wrestle against the darkness, to withstand the evil day, to stand firm. And I think this is obvious. It's evident when you observe the state of Christianity today that most Christians don't pray enough. We don't make time to pray and talk with God. But Paul says, what did he say? He says, pray at all times. Pray at all times. This is verse 18. Morning, noon, night, in the park, at the bedside with your kids at night, at your office, in your car, sitting, standing, on the floor, wherever. It's a lot like what he says in 1 Thessalonians when Paul says, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. And of course, he doesn't mean that we're always just stuck at our bedside, kneeling on the floor and praying all the time. I mean, we do have things that we have to do. We have to take care of our family. We have to go work a job. We have all those things. But what he means is that we're always aware of God's presence and ready to meet with him in any and every moment. We're always in that spirit of prayer. And the other day, Friday, I actually I went out to Greenport, took a drive on the North Fork, and It's just a beautiful day on Friday. We've had a beautiful week of weather, I think. So Friday, I took a drive out to Greenport, and I had lunch down by the water. I was eating a beautiful bowl of shrimp and grits like you wouldn't believe. Praise you, Lord. And I'm sitting there eating lunch, people all around me, very busy restaurant, down by the water, music playing, the whole shebang, and I'm enjoying lunch, and then, like, while I'm sitting there eating lunch, there's just something off. Or maybe not off, maybe on, but there's something happening, and I just realized that the Lord was asking me to pray. He was inviting me to come and talk with him. I don't try to over-spiritualize things and make things weird. But I just knew in that moment, it was certain to me that I was supposed to be praying to the Lord. And so, right there, outside, by the water, all these people, all this music, it wasn't going to sit right with me for the rest of lunch if I didn't stop and pray. And so I just bowed my head and closed my eyes, and I started talking to the Lord. And I didn't know necessarily what I was supposed to pray about, but I started praying, and I just had a moment with the Lord, and then only a few minutes, and then I finished my lunch. Went back to that shrimp and grits the Lord blessed me with. And I think, if we're honest, there are moments like that, I think, for us who belong to Jesus, that we have these moments where something's just feeling like you're not being able to be present to the moment because something's happening in your mind and in your spirit. And what it is often is that the Lord is inviting you to come talk with him. And why is it that so many times we push that off? We kind of sweep it under the rug. We suppress it. We resist a moment, an opportunity to come and talk to the Lord. I think it was Louis Giglio, pastor down in Atlanta, who said that if we knew what happens when we pray, we'd never fail to pray. If you knew, if you could comprehend in your mind what happens in the cosmos the moment that we start talking to God, we'd want to pray all the time with all kinds of prayer. And that's where Paul goes next. He says, pray using all prayer and supplication. All prayer and supplication. There are different forms of prayer. There's big prayers, small prayers, quiet prayers, loud prayers, scheduled prayer, spontaneous prayer, private, individual prayer, and collective, communal prayer. And then, of course, there are the different varieties of prayer. There are what you call prayers of adoration, where you just say, Lord, you are so awesome. How glorious, how wonderful you are, Lord. How majestic, Lord. How great, you're great and greatly to be praised, Lord. And then there are, of course, the prayers of personal thanksgiving, that we just say, God, thank you that you protected my family in that dangerous situation. Thank you, God, that you're strengthening my marriage. God, thank you that you're providing my finances. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me wisdom when I had to make that big decision in my life. Thank you, God. You take care of me. And what about the prayers of confession? We don't like to talk about that one. We come to the Lord and we say, God, I've wronged you. I've not done what's right in your sight, Lord. I've disobeyed your word. I grieved your spirit. I sinned. I can't believe I looked at that. I don't know how I managed to say that, but Lord, I know that if I confess my sin, that you're faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And so that's what I'm doing now, Lord. And there's, of course, the prayer of, I guess you'd call it scriptural prayer. Maybe you read a psalm in the morning for your daily devotion. And then you just take the words of the psalm, the phrases from the psalm, and you apply them personally. And then, of course, the prayer of intercession, where someone has asked you to pray for a certain need, And so you are standing in the gap. That's what it means to intercede. You're standing in the gap for them, that they have a need, and you're praying to God for their need. You're praying to God that he would bless that person that asked you to pray for them. That's intercession. But one specific type of prayer, which is mentioned in this scripture, is that of supplication. The prayer of supplication, or maybe the prayer of petition, is what it's sometimes called too. And that's where we make specific personal requests of God, asking him to help us, to give us guidance and strength, wisdom and discernment, provision, protection, whatever it may be, asking him for healing. It's what Paul talks about when he writes in Philippians 4, when he told us to make our requests known to God so that he might give us the peace that passes all understanding, which comforts our hearts and minds in the truth of Jesus. That's what the prayer of supplication is. And so Paul doesn't only tell us when to pray or what to pray. He also tells us in verse 18 how to pray. He says, pray with all perseverance. Pray with all perseverance. Now, another word for perseverance is the word persistence. We have to persist in prayer so that we might persist in faith. We persist in prayer so we might persist in faith. We don't read Jude a whole lot. I don't hear a whole lot of you saying my favorite book in the Bible is Jude. Hey, Jude. But Jude is one of the shortest books in the Bible. Easy read. You could read it in 2 minutes, 3 minutes this afternoon. I'd encourage you maybe after lunch today, sit there and read the book of Jude. It's a wonderful letter. And in Jude, in verse 20 and 21, there's only one chapter, he says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So to keep yourselves in the love of God, you continue to build yourselves in your most holy faith and you pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit, he says. When it comes to being persistent, some people often will ask me how persistent. As in, how many times should I pray about that thing or that need? Or how long should I pray? How many times should I ask the Lord? In Luke 11, you have a man who comes at midnight asking for 3 loaves of bread. It's a parable. And the man gives him the bread. In Luke 18, you have the persistent widow who goes to the unrighteous judge multiple times for her need. And the unrighteous judge eventually gives her what he wants. And Jesus says, how much more will a righteous God give to his elect? In Matthew 7, you have ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And that is actually, it's keep asking. Ask, ask, ask. It's seek, 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 knock, knock, knock. And so there is a biblical ground for persistent, continual prayer. And I guess my rule of thumb would just be that you pray with a sincere heart until you know God has heard you and answered you. So long as your heart is sincere in your prayer, you pray with a sincere heart until you know that God has heard you and answered you. And that doesn't mean answered you in the way that you hoped or expected or desired even. It just means that you know he's answered you. And until you know that, until you're confident in that, you keep praying about it. Keep bringing it to the Lord. Be persistent. But perseverance here is more than persistence. It's passion. It's fervency. It's faith. It's expectation. How many times do we go into prayer acting and praying like we don't know the character of God and the power of prayer? We've got to pray. We've got to come into prayer believing what we know about his character and what we know about what faith and prayer can do. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's James for you. And then Paul gives us in verse 18, there's so much here, we're just milking this passage. Pray for all the saints. It's not just a when, what, and who, or how. It's also a who. Who do we pray for? We pray for all the saints. That's the church. the people who belong to Christ, the believers who have been made new. Pray for all the saints. Sometimes we get so caught up in our personal needs and in our prayers for the lost that we forget to pray for the saints. Think about it. How often, when's the last time that you prayed for your brothers and sisters in the faith? And let me ask this question. This is a little different. When's the last time that you prayed for your brothers and sisters in the faith who didn't ask you to pray for them? That you just sat down and you said, Lord, I want to pray for Mary today. She didn't ask me for prayer. But I want to lift her up before you. I pray you'd give her faith. Lord, I want to pray for Carlos today. I pray that you'd strengthen his body to do your will. How often is that us? I mean, and maybe you have family members or friends who don't know the Lord, and so you feel a calling, a burden to pray for the lost, that God would save the lost. And that's not a bad thing. But if you'll pray for the strengthening of the saints, they'll be equipped to reach the lost instead of asking God to do the work himself. So pray for your church. Pray for South Bay. I mean, I'll give you a membership list anytime you want it, and you can go through your week and every day pray for two or three people off that membership list. Pray for your church and pray for other churches. We've been trying to make this a regular practice in our prayer time before service on Sunday, that we pray for churches in the area, other local Bible-based churches, that God's work would be done in them too. We don't have a monopoly on God's will. We want to pray that those local churches would be effective too in their ministries. And so pray that God would give us, all the saints, faith and understanding and boldness and encouragement and vitality. Pray for the saints. Now, I've said a lot so far, and I hope it's been helpful. However, I think this next piece is by far the most important thing I'll say today. It's one phrase in this verse that I've intentionally skipped over until now. Both in Paul's words here, as well as in Jude's words from earlier, there's a sort of umbrella term, if you will, which concerns any and all Christian prayer. He says, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. There are many varieties of prayer, many of people to pray for, many opportunities to pray, many methods to praying, but there's only one biblically defined posture for prayer, and that is praying in the Spirit. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit. What is praying in the Spirit? And perhaps it's easier to start with what it's not, and this may ruffle some of your feathers, I know. Praying in the Spirit is not praying in tongues. I don't know what church background some of you came from. I don't know what some of your faith, you know, denominations and stuff was. Praying, you might have heard this is synonymous, but they're not. Praying in the Spirit is not praying in tongues. And listen, I'm pro speaking in tongues. I know not all of you are crazy about it. I've talked about it when we talked about spiritual gifts and things like that in different sermons. I am very pro speaking in tongues. I believe that the spiritual gift of tongues is for today and that it should be embraced in the church, so long as it's done in a biblical and orderly fashion. I've even prayed that we would see more of it in this church. And I know some of you won't like that. Maybe you pray in tongues at home, and if you have confidence that God has called you to do that according to his word, then I'm not in a place to discourage you from doing that. But that is not what Paul is instructing us toward here in this text. In Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about praying in the Spirit, but that's not praying in the tongues. Paul says very clearly in his letter to the Corinthians that not all speak in tongues. This instruction in Ephesians chapter 6 is for all Christians at all times, which means that these can't be the same. And I think that believing and teaching that you need to pray in tongues can get in the way of you praying in the Spirit. And I think there are also some other common prayer practices which might get in the way of you praying in the Spirit. Things like empty phrases, vain repetition. Jesus warns against this in Matthew chapter 6. Those things you just kind of throw out there for the heck of it. The great preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones, he says that saying a prayer can often be the antithesis of praying in the Spirit. Saying a prayer can often be the antithesis of praying in the Spirit. And what he meant by that was when you just stand up because it's a part of the service to pray and you go, God, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We ask that you'd keep us safe and bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. My guess is many times we just say that kind of prayer and there's not really a lot of heart behind it. It's just the common prayers that we throw around in the church. And it's not about the amount of words. Praying in the Spirit doesn't mean that there's, you know, it's this super long 10-minute prayer. It could be a short and simple prayer like that. It could be shorter. I mean, Romans 8 says that sometimes we pray with no words. Pray simple prayers if you want. But it's not about the amount of words. It's about the heart behind the words. If the words are void of heart, then you're just talking in vain at that point. And so that can get in the way of praying in the Spirit. Another thing can be theological structuring. Sometimes people pray, and it sounds like they're trying to write a book of systematic theology. They're going through all their doctrines in the prayer, and they're just laying them out verse by verse and doing the whole thing. And we have a tendency to, in that moment, if we're trying to pray good theology instead of letting good theology pray, what happens is that we become so focused on our words, and the more we focus on our words, the less we focus on the Spirit. Another thing, emotionalism, experientialism. These are the ones who come into prayer and they're trying to create a big moment in the prayer. Maybe they get a tear in their voice. They get loud. They get passionate, but it's all for show. Something I've learned over the years is that increased volume isn't equivalent to spiritual power. Sometimes we think the louder somebody gets, the more spiritual they are. But the Holy Spirit speaks in a quiet voice, and he may lead you in a quiet prayer. And then finally, I think praying a list, a script, if you will, that can get in the way of praying in the Spirit. Now, I'm all about taking prayer requests. We do that in a lot of our community groups. We do that in church often, that what do we need prayer for? But don't assume that when you go into your prayer with that list that that's all the things you need to pray for. The Spirit may lead you beyond that list to pray for other things. I think of when I was younger, and before a meal, we would do the God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food prayer. And that's like a script. And I understand that in that way, it's more teaching children how to pray and thank God for their blessings. But is that real prayer if it has no heart behind it, if it's just words that we repeat every time we eat together? Maybe in an adult version would be the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you come from a church background where you repeated the Lord's Prayer all the time. And I love the Lord's Prayer. But in that passage, Jesus says, let me teach you how to pray, not what to pray. And so sometimes we start saying the Our Father who art in heaven. And if there's genuine heart behind it, if there's a sincerity, a love of the Lord God in saying that prayer, then that's beautiful. But if it's just repeating it because it's what you got, then that again goes back to the first thing, empty phrases. Empty phrases. These things aren't necessary for prayer, these things on the screen. In fact, they hinder it. The only thing required to pray in the Spirit, and this is very simple, is that you are in the Spirit. The only thing required to pray in the Spirit is that you're in the Spirit when you pray. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said it earlier in the prayer that the Spirit is always in us, but we're not always in the Spirit. I think we know that's true. Sometimes we come into prayer and we've got a bitter heart. Sometimes we come into prayer with selfish motives and desires. Sometimes we come into prayer with some serious unconfessed sin that we're not intending to talk to the Lord about. We can't pray in the Spirit if we're in that frame of mind. Praying in the Spirit is very simple, but it requires the proper starting place. We've got to be in the Spirit if we're going to pray in the Spirit. And once our spirit is in tune with the Spirit, then we're ready to pray in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit is as simple as first acknowledging the Spirit's presence. Acknowledging the Spirit's presence. Romans 8, verse 26 and 27 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts," that's God, "he knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And so what we see in Romans chapter 8 is that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, wants to help us in prayer. So when we come in to pray, we don't just jump in with all of our thoughts and ideas and words and requests, but we come in and we first just say, "Holy Spirit, I know you want to help me pray right now." Invite the Spirit to come and help you, because you don't know what to pray for as you ought. But you just say, "Holy Spirit, I know you want to help me pray." And we welcome the Spirit who wants to help us pray. And in that sense, we're not just dependent on prayer, but we're actually dependent in prayer. The second thing is that we follow the Spirit's direction. Martin Luther used to talk about letting your thoughts take you for a walk. And so sometimes in prayer, we're trying to pray to the Lord, and we have these thoughts that are kind of wandering around in our head, and we call them distractions. But it very well could be that the Holy Spirit is bringing those things to your mind in that moment that you might bring that into prayer. Have you ever thought about that? You're sitting there trying to pray, and you're thinking about your lunch with so-and-so. And maybe God's, the Spirit is prompting you to bring that into prayer and pray for your lunch with so-and-so. Maybe that you'd be able to encourage them or comfort them in some way. Don't just assume that everything's a distraction. Maybe that's the Spirit giving you some direction in your prayer. Third is seeking the Spirit's will. We pray in the Spirit and we seek the Spirit's will. That means we don't go in insisting on our own will. That we don't go in insisting on our own desires. And think about this, because sometimes people think that they can just pray for whatever, you know, to God and get what they want. How are you going to go in and pray for new cars and fancy clothes if you're seeking the Spirit's will? That sounds like something that's very fleshly, I think, if we're honest with ourselves. And then fourth and final is that we pray in the Spirit according to the Spirit's power. We pray in the Spirit according to the Spirit's power. And when I say power, you can sit right here on the end, ma'am. Sit right there on the end. You pray according to the Spirit's power. And when I say power, again, I don't mean lofty words or volume. What I mean is that we're filled with faith. We have faith to believe in what we're praying for. This, what's on the screen, that's the only true biblical way to pray. That's the only thing we see in the New Testament on the right posture for how to pray. And any Christian prayer is going to require this. And why do we pray this way? I think this is what Paul is signaling in verses 19 and 20. We pray in the Spirit so we might be filled by the Spirit to do God's work. Not just so that our own faith is strengthened, but so that in that faith, in that praying in the Spirit, we might be empowered to do what he's called us to do. And that doesn't matter our circumstances or our fears. The Spirit gives us boldness and confidence that go beyond our circumstances to do the will of God, to do what he's called us to do. And so let me explain why I changed the sermon for this week. We're going to give you a chance, an opportunity. I'm going to invite you to apply all that I've talked about this morning. This week, we're going to have what I'm calling the 7-7 week of prayer. The 7-7 week of prayer at South Bay. And it's based on Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, that verse I mentioned earlier. Ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And so Monday through Thursday this week, we're going to have an opportunity for whoever can come, whoever can be here and show up, to come and pray at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. here in this sanctuary. It's nothing fancy. There's really not much of an agenda for any of these things. We're just coming to pray for our church. And God wants us to pray. I'm telling you that confidently as your pastor, as the shepherd over this church. God wants us to pray. There's nothing going wrong. I've been asked that already by somebody I told earlier. There's nothing going wrong at the church. I just believe that God wants us to pray. He's called us to be a people of prayer. My house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. Not preaching, not teaching, not serving, not prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. There will be our normal meeting this Wednesday night, our normal prayer meeting, which we have every month, where we will be ordaining Gil Vanderbilt as a deacon in our church. So you should be there for that. But don't skip the other meetings just because you want to attend that meeting. In fact, if you can be at all of them, 7 a.m., 7 p.m., Monday through Thursday, if you can be at every single one, I encourage you to come. Come and pray. We're doing business with the Lord this week. We've already canceled all the community groups for this week, so you don't have to worry about that. We canceled that so that you could be in these meetings, that you could come and pray with us. And when we get together, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith and carry us forward in the will of God as a church family. We need the Holy Spirit to keep our congregation holy. We need the Holy Spirit to the Spirit of wisdom, to give our leaders wisdom. We need the Holy Spirit to make all of us bold witnesses in a godless society. Listen, the future of our church, the future of our church depends, it hangs on this, the Holy Spirit's continual response to our continual prayers. That's what our church depends on. The Holy Spirit's continual response to our continual prayers. And so I want to call, invite, instruct you to come and join us this week, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. There'll be different things to pray for at each of those sessions, Monday through Thursday this week. I'm just going to pray us out for today. We'll continue with the prayer prompts next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Help us, Holy Spirit, to pray. Make us a people who love to be in your presence. Pray and talk with you, Lord. Not only to talk, Lord, but to listen. Hear that still small voice of your Spirit. God, might we make time to be with you. In our busy schedules, in our social lives. Might we make time to just be with you, Lord. We want to do your will, Lord. God, strengthen us in faith. Make us holy, Lord. Purify us. Give us a pure and holy passion. Give us a desire for your name, Lord. Strengthen your saints, Lord. Lord, we are your children. You are our God. We're your people, Lord. Give us endurance, Lord. Hold us until the very end. And God, until that day, when Jesus Christ comes back, Lord, let us do what we ought to. We live by your truth and your word. That we obey and do not quench your spirit. That we find strength in your presence and rest in Jesus Christ, who is our refuge. That we preach your gospel to the ends of the earth. Make us bold. Make us confident in the truth of God. God, all of that confidence, all of that certainty. All of that peace that you want to give us. It doesn't start anywhere except for prayer. It's prayer where you comfort our hearts. It's prayer where you provide for our needs. Let your people pray, Lord. Let your people be renewed in prayer, transformed, changed. Help us, God, to take every opportunity that we have to pray. And Lord, let us pray with faith, expectation, perseverance, persistence. But God, most of all, might we pray in alignment with the Spirit who lives in us. Might we live in the Spirit. Might we put away bitterness and gossip and hatred and sin, evil, darkness. Might we put it all away that we might live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, so that every time we come into prayer, we are ready. We are prepared to move forward to the presence of God with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we prepare to launch this week of prayer for our church family, God, I pray that your people would come to pray. I pray that there would be a unity of mind and of spirit, that there would be an agreement. That God, you have great things for this church. You have great and wonderful things for this church if we'll be faithful to you, Lord. If we'll depend and trust in you. if we'll look for no strength in ourselves, but Lord, look to you alone as the source of our life, of our provision, of our protection. This is your church, Lord, not mine. This church doesn't belong to anybody who signed the deed. It doesn't belong to anybody who's in this room, Lord. South Bay is your church. And God, I believe that if we'll lean into your spirit, and if your people will pray, you'll take care of the rest, Lord. Help us do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand and worship together?
You sing this with me. Sing it out.
I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life. All over my life. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life. I see promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life.
Why should I hear
the evidence is here? So why should I fear The evidence is here.
Amen, amen. Just a few things before we dismiss today. You know, when you preach a sermon on prayer, you're just reminded over and over again about how much it is that we depend on the Lord. How much it is that we need Him. And so maybe you walked in the room today, maybe you're watching online today, and you've been trying to do it all in your own strength. You've been trying to be your own Savior, if you will. And today, there's an opportunity to come and place your faith in the one who can really help you. The one who can really deliver and save and heal and free. We're talking about Jesus Christ, who we sang about just a moment ago. That He died and was raised on your behalf to save you from your broken state. To save you from your wrongdoing and your sin. And to heal you and give you a new life where you find strength in Him. And so if you want to place your faith in Jesus today, we want to celebrate that. I'm not going to call you up and embarrass you or anything, but there's the Connect cards that we mentioned earlier in the seats in front of you. If you're placing your faith in Jesus today, I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to encourage you and just be available to you. So if you would, just put your name on the Connect card and leave your email as well, and then just check off that box that said, I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. And I'll be sure to be praying for you and to send you some resources for growing in your faith in the days ahead. If you're a first-time guest here today, we're so glad you're here. If you are ready to be known, if you feel like you had a good experience here and you'd feel comfortable sharing your information with us, there is a Stay in the Know card in the seats in front of you. We'd love for you to fill those out. And give us your information. We're not going to spam or annoy you. We just want to tell you all about what's happening at South Bay as far as, you know, events and sermons and things like that. And just want to have your contact information so we can be staying in touch with you. You can leave both of those cards as you're heading out the door. The ushers are going to be there with baskets in hand. And with those baskets also, we believe here at South Bay that we honor the Lord with our giving, that we bless His name through our generosity. God has given us everything that we have. In the way that He has so richly provided for us, we want to give a proportion of that to His work. I mean, this church, we need prayer. We also need funds. Hallelujah. Amen. To do the ministry that we do for this community. And so I just want to invite you, if you call South Bay home, to join us in giving, because we got to do the Lord's work. Amen. And that happens through prayer, and it happens through money. And then the last thing is, for Mother's Day, we always have a breakfast out in the tent between the services, but for Mother's Day, I'm being told we have a special breakfast out there. There's some quiches, some fresh fruit, things like that. We would love for you to come and join us. Obviously, it's all free. All you have to do is follow the ramp, and it will lead you to the big circus tent in the back, and there will be a delightful breakfast. We can all sit around the tables together and enjoy some food and in each other's company. Oh, that's a great reminder. If you didn't know, we're having a Mother's Day photo shoot. And where are they lining up?
So they can go down the stairs to wait, but we're going to do the photos right up.
Okay, so down the stairs to wait, and I guess you'll make a line against the sidewalk. And then there's a beautiful set right here, and you can have a photo, and we'll email you the photos and everything. Or are we printing? I don't know, it doesn't matter. Anyway, if you're a mom here and you want some photos with your family, we'd love for you to go and have some free photos taken, and we'll send those off to you, and you can frame those up and make them look nice. So anyway, I'm going to pray our benediction as you're heading out the door today. You can leave your giving as well as your Connect cards or Stay in the Know cards. And we're so thankful you were here. Are you happy to have been here this morning? Praise the Lord. All right. Awesome. Let's pray. Church, or God, rather. God, we thank you just for your kindness and your mercy, Lord. Lord, that you've given us this church family to be here and to grow here and to, Lord, learn under your word and follow your spirit, Lord. God, I pray that every person who's in this room, every person who's online today, will have some kind of encouragement that's come out of this time together. Lord, I pray that your will would be done. Lord, I pray that your people would be changed and renewed and strengthened as a result of this meeting, Lord. And God, as always, with the fullest heart, I pray that you would bless us and keep us, that you'd shine your face down on us, Lord, and that you'd give us your peace. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may go in peace.